Let me set my keyboard in.
Yeah. Oh, so, oh, now it's working. Okay. I'm gonna sing the intro. Okay. So, listen for the best. My reputation's kind of memorable, so you must like me. Oh, you don't have the right notes. Like,
what? That's right.
Okay, wait. So, let me try again. Okay, so, listen for the best. My reputation's never been worse, so you must like me for me. I think the last. Oh, can you take the
notes off? Okay, much better. I think the last one is kind of like you gotta like the you must like me for me. You got the notes wrong, but anyways, so that answers my question. The vocoder.
This is Songs to Discuss
with your daughter,
with Willa Krishnaswamy
and Ravi Krishnaswamy, a dad and daughter team.
Welcome back, listeners.
Hey.
Hey, Willa.
Hi, Dad.
We're recording a little later today.
Yeah, sorry, this may get out, it's got out a little late.
We're also switching microphones.
Today. Yeah, my dad has the floppy one that's always fluffing around near me, so I've got the better one today.
You've got the Lewitt.
I got the $500 one.
Hey.
I'm smiling, but like...
All right, so...
We're talking about Delicate today by Taylor Swift. This is like a great song. It's been on the radio a lot, but it's only recently when I became a kind of a fan of Taylor Swift. My friend, shout out to Alana, it's going to be her birthday soon, so happy early birthday, Alana. But she's a Swiftie, and she kind of got me into this song, and it's a really interesting song. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. And didn't you actually watch a concert?
Yes, actually, I did a Netflix teleparty with Alana for her birthday, and we were watching the Reputation Stadium Tour, and she performed this song live, which is kind of great, so I got like a live glimpse of it, which is nice.
What did you think of the staging of it?
It was really cool. It was really cool. She was kind of like flying around in the crowd on a... It's hard to explain. No, just watch the movie. It's on Netflix. But anyways, we didn't do that thing I always do. I make up this weird thing like, how are you? I haven't seen you in a while. Like, I always have something like that in the intro.
Oh, yeah. And we also have to give a little bit of a moment for our sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
So,
here we are.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Are we ready to start?
Yes. So I think it's really interesting that you picked this song because you picked it right as Taylor Swift came out with her new album, her second album of the pandemic.
Yeah, she came out with Folklore in July, and now 5 months later, I was reading an article about it, and she said in like a tweet or something, I don't know, and that it was kind of like the sister to Folklore.
Evermore.
Yeah, Evermore.
With its first single called Willow.
Yeah, and I'm Willa, so... Yeah, which is funny, but anyways.
But in researching the song, so I thought it was interesting that you chose the song from 2017.
It's from 2017. It's from Reputation in 2017. I feel like even though it's kind of out of date to talk about old, this isn't an old song, but it's not a recent song. So I feel like it might be kind of out of, like, I don't know, not great to talk about older songs. But, I mean, if 3 years ago I was 7 years old, so, I mean... I thought it'd be interesting to talk about it kind of a few years later because not a ton of people are listening to it now. Like, it's not the state of music. It's not what people are talking about. So we can have, like, fresh eyes on it, a new point of view.
Right. There is something about analyzing popular music
later on, three songs later.
Because things...
Or, no, not three songs later. Three years later. Yeah.
Now, when this came out, you were probably listening to Kidz Bop.
Yeah, I was listening to Kidz Bop like 3 years ago. I think they did a cover of this and it was really bad, but...
We went to see them at the Oakdale Theater.
Yeah, Kidz Bop, now that I think of it, all their covers like sound the same. They always put their own, like, I don't know, trademarked sound on it, but...
Well, listen, as a parent, I think they're great because they give you a way of listening to popular music without hearing all the bad words and all the lyrics that are a little too old for you. So in some ways, like what we're doing now with this podcast is we're kind of doing like a kids bop version of a podcast, because we're breaking down pop music, but in a way that's appropriate for people your age to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Kids bop isn't my jam right now, Dad. I'm 11, but yes, I know what you mean.
I remember when you wanted to try out for kids bop.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
We almost filmed an audition
video. Yes, I remember that. I would not have gotten in. I'm not a great singer.
I think you would have gotten in.
Maybe, but, you know, let's focus on this song, because we could do like a kids bop song any other time.
Right.
But, you know, this more important, more state of the mind. Okay. Well, anyways, should we get into the questions? I actually have an intro note.
Sure.
That I want to say. If you can say whatever you want about this song. But I feel like this song makes me feel like she's kind of like telling the truth and not really worrying about what other people will say. But it's also kind of like calm. Like, it doesn't sound like Bad Blood, where she's like really saying what she wants to say. Sounds kind of more chill, like no one's listening, like she's just playing around in the studio, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's definitely not as aggressive or poppy as the other stuff that she was putting out during this time.
Yeah.
The other singles. It's definitely
not
more...
during this time. Folklore is like folk. Are you talking about during Reputation?
No, during Reputation.
Yeah, yeah. Have you heard this? Oh, no. Look What You Made Me Do.
Yeah, that was Reputation.
I love that song. That was Reputation.
Yeah, and that's all about like Taylor being a bad girl.
Yeah.
You know.
Look what you made me do. I'm not. No.
That's continue. Not even the melody.
I know it's not.
That's like a mom thing.
Yeah. Okay, continue.
Okay. So, one thing when I was looking into this song that I thought was interesting is that, please stop bumping into that stand.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to scooch my chair in. Continue.
Okay, one thing that's so interesting is that now she's put out these two records, Folklore and Evermore, and they're both more chill.
Yeah.
And introspective and vulnerable. And I think that I think Delicate is when she actually found her vulnerable voice. When she, this is like the first song.
Yeah, because like if you listen to the chorus, she's like, is it cool that I said all that?
Yeah, she's second guessing herself. Yeah. She's really opening herself up wide open to.
And like the first, in the first segment, in the first, like the beginning, she's like, because my reputation's never been worse. So, yeah.
Right. She's like, thinking about herself through the eyes of somebody else and wondering if it's going to be okay that they've heard all this stuff about her. So it's really this first time when she kind of comes down from the sort of alpha position of being super powerful Taylor with Look What You Made Me Do and what are the other songs from that record?
Ready For It?
Yep.
I Did Something Bad.
Yeah. So there's a lot of like, hey, I don't care about your feelings at all. I'm just going to do my thing, Taylor Swift. And then this song comes on and it's like, well, wait a minute. What does that mean? And what do people think of me now? And actually, I want you to really see who I am.
Yeah.
So I think
in the concert she talked about how with her Swifties, they always encouraged her to try new like genres and new styles and new sounds, like a new, like instead of like once you have one genre, stick to it.
Should we play an excerpt of the song now? We haven't actually done that.
And then I actually have 8 questions, so I really want to get in.
Okay.
So this episode's not too long.
Let's play an excerpt.
Yep. We can't make any promises now, can we, babe? But you can make me dream. Is it cool that I said all that? Is it chill that you're in my head? Cause I know that it's delicate. Is it cool that I said all that? Is it too soon to do this yet? Cause I know that it's delicate. Isn't it? Pretty
great.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
I love how in some of the live shows, You know how there's that one vocal where she goes, delicate, but it's like pitched up all the way?
Oh, in the live shows, in the crowds do that?
Yeah, the crowd
delicate.
Does that.
Delicate, like, yeah.
So let me ask you a question.
I'm the one who's supposed to be asking.
No, I'm going to ask you a question first. I just want to get into your brain about Taylor Swift.
Okay.
So if Taylor Swift was a character from Broadway, who would she be?
I think she might be Caddy from Mean Girls, because Alana's told me that one of the reasons why she wrote Reputation is because after 1989, where she won all these Grammy Awards and she kind of like became the big pop star of the time, some critics and some people were saying like mean things about her, and like she started to take those into account and she started to like do these bad things, and then Alana said she went into exile and so no one physically saw her for a year, and thanks to Alana, she taught me all this.
Wow.
But, and then when she came back, she wrote Reputation.
Uh-huh.
So, this kind of seems like Caddy from Mean Girls, because Caddy's like, she's coming in, she's like emerging from Africa.
Uh-huh.
She kind of like becomes the big one in the school.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like she becomes the pop star.
Yep.
And then she does all these bad things, and then she really like recognizes and like she doesn't care about what other people think.
So, second question before you get to your questions.
Oh my gosh, I have 8 questions.
Do you think so? Are her songs her life?
What do you mean? Like, do you think that? Are you asking me if her songs like kind of represent her life?
Are they autobiographical?
Oh.
Is she singing about her life or is she creating characters?
I think in some of her recent music, she's definitely singing about her life, like Folklore and Evermore. Even though I haven't gone deep in a lot, I keep mentioning Alana. She's been giving me all these facts. She's saying,
this episode dedicated to Alana.
Definitely. I think a song where you can kind of tell it's about her is a song from her album Red. We Are Never Getting Back Together. You could kind of hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are never, ever, ever getting back together, you... Like, that song. But I think it's some songs from 1989, it's more of kind of like... I don't know this for a fact, though, so please, if there's a Swiftie listening, correct me in comments or something. I'm not for sure, but I feel like just listening, like, by the sense of how she's singing, you can kind of tell, if you know what I mean. Like, you might have more... You'll have more emotion singing about yourself.
Right. I think she writes a lot of autobiographical material.
Definitely a Reputation.
Particularly, yeah. And I think this song sort of launches her autobiographical, you know, vulnerability. So you have a friend who's a Swiftie who's really into Taylor Swift. I have a friend who's also a Swiftie.
Really? Who is it?
It's my friend Rob Sheffield, who I mentioned last
Swiftie?
Time. Yes.
And he's also like a Harry Styles-y. I don't know what their fan group
well,
is.
Well, I mean,
but
he's also like a famous about, rock critic, and which is pretty awesome. So he, for Rolling Stone, sometime this fall, I'm not going to have the date right in my head, he ranked all 173 Taylor Swift songs. And you know where this one landed?
Where?
Number 4.
Oh, my gosh.
Out of 173.
Wait, all her albums combined, 173?
Yep. Well, I don't think this list included Evermore, but I think it did include Folklore. I'm not sure.
What was number 1? I'm just curious.
It was All Too Well.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's one of her older tunes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay, so what were some of the choices the producers made to make this song more enhancing?
What do you mean by enhancing?
Like, kind of audience directing, but also feeling very Taylor and what she wanted.
Well, I will say that one of the things that I like about the production is the beat is very low key. It's using what's called an 808 drum machine.
Yeah.
But it's tuned, so it's like a bass line.
Well, I was going to say, because it sounds like a bass line. It sounds very like you hear it in the car. It's vibrating. Like.
Yeah, let me play it for you on a tuned 808.
Yeah, that sounds very bass-like.
I think it's cool because it leaves so much room in the mix for her vocal to...
really kind of take the song off.
Yeah, and they do some really cool things with the vocal effects.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But so, like, I guess you kind of answered the question because I was like, what are the choices that the producers made to make it more enhancing? I feel... I'm not sure. Did you... Do you think you answered it? Because your answer was very terse and...
Terse?
It was a vocab word in school.
So, the thing is...
Or, terse isn't the right word. Like, short. And...
Yeah. Well, I think the production on the song is a statement in the context of the album. So, okay. If we pull up the album... So, the album opens up with Ready For It, which is...
It's one of my favorite songs. I like that song. It's got like two different faces. It's got like a really big, epic production one, and then there's like a nice end where it's like, in my dreams, I know I'm gonna be with you soon, which is kind of like a sing-song, you know, it's pop song. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but those bombastic parts are big. And the next few tracks are all kind of bombastic in their own way. And then
Delicate comes. It's very delicate compared to the other songs, which is kind of a...
It's really set in the album
and
as...
Do you want to hear something?
Yeah.
Like, thank you, Alana, so much for telling me this. But Delicate is track 5, and Alana says track 5 is her lucky track.
Well, we'll have to look and see what our other track 5s are.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's see.
Yeah. And they said track 5 is always has a specific meaning. Isn't it like a very emotional or...
It's always her most emotional and vulnerable song and has a hidden meaning in it.
Like an Easter egg of something.
Yeah. I didn't know that there was this whole Swiftie culture.
You did not?
No.
There is a whole Swiftie culture. There's like Swifties, Beliebers, Arianators. Like, it's
Arianators.
It's the super fan group, yeah. Dad.
So one of the other track 5s that we looked up was All Too Well from the Red album.
Red, yes. I think that's her favorite color. That's what Alana said. So.
And that was actually the number one song in Rob Sheffield's all-time ranking.
And that's track 5.
Yep. Okay. Interesting.
Well, we have 7 more questions to go.
So the thing is, we went on a little tangent there, but your original question about what were the producers thinking, I think that they were shifting the mood there, creating that vulnerable emotional space in the album. It's interesting. This album is basically produced by 2 production teams. One is Jack Antonoff, who used to be in a band called Fun and has worked with lots of different pop stars. And I love his style. It's very fun and
fun.
I know. The other production team is headed up by Max Martin, and Max Martin is like literally the Svengali behind a lot of the pop music that's happened over the last 20 years now. He's a Swedish songwriter and producer. He worked with Britney Spears, the Backstreet Boys, back in the day, and now he's working with people like Taylor Swift. He just cranks out the hits. He has a sound, and so it's interesting because their sounds are a little bit different, but they come together on this record pretty well.
Yeah, so... number 2, my second question is, so is the vocal structure / chord progression similar to other like popular songs, not necessarily by Taylor Swift? Because since it is a very, I'm not going to say unique because there's a lot of songs that sound kind of like this one, but it's like kind of authentic, even though that's like a synonym for unique. What I'm trying to say is it's like a pop song. You hear a lot of pop songs and there's a general sound, but it's also kind of like... It's track 5. It's, do you know what I mean? Kind of like, can you reiterate this for the audience?
It seems to me like you're trying to ask me about the song structure.
Yeah.
And if it's unique.
Yes. No, I'm saying, is the vocal structure / chord progression kind of similar to other popular songs, or does it have its own kind of twist? Or?
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I think it's a fairly conventional chord progression. It's basically 1, 2, 6, 4. 1, 2, 6, 4. That's a pretty common progression in pop music now. And another thing that's really interesting is that I feel like with all the songs that we're looking at, a lot of them have this thing now where there isn't really a different chord progression for the chorus. The chorus is all about the size of the arrangement and the energy of the vocal and where the vocal goes, but that the chords stay the same all the way through. And it makes me think that dance music, in particular electronic dance music and house music from the 90s, has really influenced pop songwriting, because house music from the 90s is all about timbre. It's all about change.
Oh, I thought it was timber.
Not tim.
That's how my music teacher says.
Timber?
No, he says timber.
Who? At school?
Yeah.
Timber.
No, he says you can do either timbre or timber. Like okay. The sound, you know.
Timber is what you say when you chop down a tree.
True.
Timber!
I know, but like, that's kind of related, because when you chop down a tree, it has a specific sound. And
oh, okay. What's the timbre of the timber?
Okay, get back to what you were saying.
So, listening to 90s house music, first of all, you have to understand that house music comes out of this very long tradition of remixing songs for the dance floor. It started in the disco era, where you'd have a song that was really popular in the discos, and so they'd get an engineer to come in and make it longer because it was so popular, they wanted people to be able to dance to it longer. So they'd take a 3 or 4 minute song and turn it into 10 or 15 minutes. So that's the 70s and 80s. And then you get into the 90s and you have DJs are now producing, they're now making their own records. They're not just remixing the records. But their language is about timbre. It's about making the song, making the vocal soar, making the synths get brighter, making more percussion come in, but not changing the chords. So this song, and I think Golden and Love Language, they all have like the same.
It's kind of like we have a theme here on this podcast.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me because I don't know, I come out of a place of listening to songwriting and thinking about, okay, what's the chord progression on the verse? What's the chord progression on the chorus? And that's not what's happening in any of these songs. Let's play
progression in all.
Yeah, let's play a little snippet from the verse into the chorus.
Is it cool that I said all that? Is it too soon to do this yet? Cause I know that it's delicate. Isn't it?
So this is the kind of arranging that happens at the mixing board, not like in front of staff paper with a pencil.
Yeah.
Drums come in, drums go out. Keyboard parts come in, keyboard parts come out. It's the same chord progression cycling over and over and over, but you're just muting different elements.
Yeah.
And that's what creates the structure.
Yeah, I can see that. Sorry, I had a yawn.
You can't yawn on your own podcast. It's been a long day.
It's been a very long day. Anyways, so what's that effect they put on her voice in the beginning of the song? Now, this effect doesn't carry out through the whole song. It's in the beginning. And it really fascinates me, and it's really interesting because it makes the beginning sound like an intro, like the intro and then the song, the floor on the way. Like before that, what is that effect? And
so it's called a vocoder.
Vocoder, okay.
And it creates a really specific, interesting
sound. It kind of sounds like this. Sorry. Kind of sounds like you're singing like a synthesizer.
Exactly. That's what you're doing, is you are playing a synthesizer
and putting it into your notes.
But you're feeding your voice into it, and your voice is what makes the notes happen.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you're merging the, what you'd say, what you call the envelope of your voice.
Yeah, now I'm just realizing earlier we didn't actually play the beginning excerpt. We played an excerpt from third floor from there.
Okay, let's play a little bit of the vocoder part now.
Listen yeah. For the best. My reputation's never been worse, so you must like me for me. We can't make any promises now, can we, babe? But you can make me dream.
So it's cool because it gives you the effect of...
kind of how she's feeling. Maybe, possibly. I have this bad habit of like thinking this is what you're going to say and kind of finishing.
Yeah, that wasn't what I was going to say at all.
Okay, no, because what I was thinking is kind of like it makes it feel more dramatic and more emotional, mm-hmm. which is kind of track five. But I mean, what were you going to say? My apologies to you and listeners.
Well, it just... makes it feel like kind of space age and cool.
What do you mean by that? I have no idea.
It's voice-like, but it's also synth-like.
So yeah, because like, you can hear her voice, but you can also, like, you're playing a synthesizer. And didn't you say you had that effect, like, upsample?
Yeah, I set it up so you could play
in Digital Performer.
Yeah, you want to try it?
I'll try it. Okay. I'll sing the intro. It's gonna be very bad, but you know I'll sing. I'll try.
So part of it is that I play a keyboard in
with the notes that are gonna come out for me. Right, kind of. Sorry.
Yeah, I play the notes, and you can actually say anything you want.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, now it's working. Okay. I'm gonna sing the intro. Okay. So, this ain't for the best. My reputation's never been worse, so you must like me. Oh, you don't have the right notes. Like,
what? That's right.
Okay, wait. So, let me try again. Okay, so, this ain't for the best. My reputation's never been worse, so you must like me for me. I think the last... Oh, can you take the
notes off? Okay, much better. I think the last one is kind of like, you gotta... Like, the you must like me for me. You got the notes wrong. But anyways, so that answers my question, the vocoder.
Yeah, the vocoder's actually been around for a long time.
That's cool. Yeah, it sounds very 80s. I don't know why.
Yeah, they used it in the 80s.
I was right.
Actually, let me see how old the vocoder really is. Okay. Hold on a sec. The 70s.
The 70s, yeah. Yeah. That's what I was guessing.
I think there are some prog artists that that made use of this. I'd actually, if any listeners could chime in and let us know if you have examples of the vocoder in the 70s or 80s,
that'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay, so this question isn't as like analyzing the song kind of question. It's more of, I don't know, it's not that kind of question, but it's, so did Taylor do most of the writing on this song, or more, was it more like her helping the writers, kind of like Max Martin, I forget the other guy, but, because, I mean, this question kind of requires more research, so I'm hoping you did that.
I didn't do my homework. No, Taylor, I think she writes her own.
Yeah, Alana said she writes most of her own songs. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. She's pretty competent songwriter, yeah. Guitar player, and I think she worked with, I think a she co-wrote these songs. If we look at the credits, we'll see what the writing credits are. Hold on a sec.
Okay.
Yeah. So the credits are Taylor Swift, Max Martin, and Shellback.
Shellback, okay. Who is Max Martin and Taylor Swift? Yeah. Okay.
So the producers co-write.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot in pop.
Yeah, she probably, you know. Do you know about something called the top line?
Nope.
That's kind of a thing in pop songwriting where They'll refer to that, you know, maybe Max Martin and Shellback actually kind of came up with the chord progression. And
then Taylor did
and sent her like an instrumental, but it didn't have any vocal melody or words.
Oh, okay. And so she kind of does the lyrics.
So it's the lyrics and the melody,
and
how like where the words go, what notes she's singing. So the combination of the notes and the words, I think they call that the top line in the industry.
Oh, okay.
So I bet she wrote the top line on a lot of these songs.
Okay. All right. Moving on to my next question. I've lost count. So, how does she use layering vocals on top to help this song be like kind of more enjoyable and more effective to the audience?
So, I love the moment where it switches from the vocoder to the straight-ahead vocal.
Like the vocal?
Because it happens at the same time that the beat kicks in.
Because it's like, I forget the lyrics, but... it's like something with the vocoder, and then I know it's like third floor on the west end, meeting you, something.
Yeah, dive bar on the east side, ba ba ba. So it's sort of like this perspective shift. She's using the vocal processing.
I thought the vocoder was actually, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm just going to say this. I actually thought the vocoder was layering vocals at first, like a few years ago, and now I realize that.
It's not really different. It's not different tracks of vocals.
It's kind of like an echo, and it's also very synth.
It's a processed version that turns it into multiple voiced chords, even though it's still the envelope of one voice. So I think what's nice is the lyrics really do kind of shift perspective between the vocoder sections and the straight ahead sections, which are much more like in the present, like when you just hear her voice straight ahead, dive bar on the east side, it's very literal. It's like she's taking you into a place, into her life.
Yeah, I feel like the vocoder sections and the chorus are more like the vulnerable sections. And then
they're more introspective.
When I think of that line, like third floor on the west end, I think of her kind of like walking down the street to like an apartment building. Like I think of it like in action, and then like in the vocoder part, it's like to a halt, and she's like kind of explaining.
Yeah, it's very visual,
metaphoric.
Yeah, so like in the vocoder sections, she's looking inward. It's introspective.
Yeah. She's kind of like telling it to herself.
Yeah, exactly.
And then in the next section, she's like, "Okay, we're going to the third floor of this apartment building on the west side. You and me, like."
Yeah, she's in, it's sort of like action versus introspection.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, that does help, like, the song be more enjoyable because it has, like, two different faces.
Yeah.
Although, I feel like that's also kind of like holy. It has two different faces.
Yes. But we, you know, it's funny. We talk a lot about production in this podcast. But there is this thing, and I don't necessarily always agree with it, but there's a thing in the music business where a lot of people will say, well, it's not a good song unless you can sit down and play it with just an acoustic guitar and the vocal.
Like I feel like that's very generalized. That's generalization and very, it's like not having an open mindset. Like you can't play the Billie Eilish song Bad Guy on a guitar, but you can definitely say it's a pretty good song. It won a ton of Grammys. Like,
well, I mean, maybe you'd have to see what it sounds like in that context. But the interesting thing is that, so in this case, we
now,
talked.
Now
all
you
the,
got me thinking about that. How,
don't fall off your stool.
I was laughing. How would you play that song on a guitar?
Oh, you could play
it. You could play it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it could be done.
Yeah.
So the thing is, you know, we're talking about all this fancy production with Max Martin and the vocoder and the tuned 808 drum, which it is really interesting that they're using tuned 808s because that's all over trap music now too, but they're using it in more of a dance pop way. But we're talking about all this production stuff, and yet she has performed this just voice and acoustic. Have you heard any of those versions?
Yes. Oh, no, I haven't. We watched that video the other day.
So let's play like one little excerpt
Okay.
For the audience of what that sounds like.
Okay.
My nightstand in the block. Come here, you can meet me in the back. Dark jeans and your Nikes, look at you. Oh damn, never seen that color blue. Just think of the fun things we could do. This ain't for the best. My reputation's never been worse, so you must like me for me.
Okay, I lied, because there actually are a couple other instruments.
Yeah, I was gonna say there.
Oops. But it's an all acoustic, you know, straight ahead, no vocal processing.
Yeah, with the acoustic, I was going to say, do you agree with that acoustic guitar theory?
I don't agree with that theory.
I feel like I agree. It's very, like, and now a lot of songs are built off of trap beats and things unacoustic. And
mm-hmm.
Very.
Yeah, see, I don't, I think songs communicate through their production. And you can't. There's a lot of songs where I don't think you can separate them. In this case,
you can't.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to the fact that she came out of a career as a
country
person. Artist. Yeah. So, and country, the country world in Nashville is all about.
She actually, Lana said her hometown is in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the center of the country music business, and. Increasingly the center of the music business and other fronts. But, you know, in that world, it really is about, you know, you get the song down with an acoustic guitar and a vocal, and then you bring in players. But it's not about all this fancy production and who's got the beats that are all over the charts right now. Nashville is more about traditional songwriting. And so I could see why her songs work that way.
Yeah. Can you describe what elements of this song's production feed into the meaning/message of the song, if there is a connection between the production choices and how the song is supposed to make Taylor feel and what it means to Taylor now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's something that's very nighttime about the production, with that low drum and not a lot of other things around, that mm-hmm. sort of hushed energy. It feels very, very late night, and all the scenes she's describing are kind of like late night scenes. So I think that's cool. And I also think that there's like a sense of her talking to herself, even though she's sort of like coming up with these questions for this other person, but she's really talking to herself. And that's reflected in some of the other vocal production things that she does, where she has those backing vocals that come in. 'Cause I like you. And then she has the pitched up delicate.
Yeah, that was not good. 'Cause yeah. I like you.
No.
Well, yeah. Okay, so this last question is more of a the audience gets to know you, or the listeners gets to know you, Dad, better, because this song isn't about analyzing the song or about Taylor or about the message. It's, all right, I'm going to ask you now. So if you were to either listen to this song in the car or have no musical at all, what would you choose and why? Be completely honest with us here.
This or Silence? I would listen to this song.
Why?
I like it.
All right,
And in studying it, I've gotten to like it even more.
That's definitely what I would have chosen, and that's what I thought you would.
But also, I love those
Silence?
Vocoder things when they have interesting chords.
Yeah. Sorry, when you were like, I love, I thought you were going to say Silence. I was like, Silence? Like,
no.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. You know who does a lot of that vocoder stuff with
who?
Interesting chords is...
Is it someone I know?
It's the Zed, the guy who produced.
Oh yeah, he does a ton of like Tick Tick Big production.
Yeah, in the middle with Maren Morris.
Yeah,
that's a vocoder.
I know you just need me in the middle, huh? That is.
Really? Yeah, listen. Oh baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle?
Oh yeah.
So did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it. It was a little different, but yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, because it's sort of like Zed singing these lower parts, but I love how they go through those really beautiful voicings under her her top line.
Well, I know you love this song, but this is about another song, Dad.
Yeah, we should do the middle sometime.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Possibly.
What's your favorite? Is this your favorite Taylor Swift song? And if not, no. What's your favorite Taylor Swift song and why?
This is a hard question. It's probably either Ready For It or Shake It Off.
Mm-hmm.
They're both really feel-good songs. Like, you know, Shake It Off is like, I think that's like her, other than Blank Space, it's like her second most hit. Like,
that's a great song because it's just very much like,
yeah,
it's a thing you can say to yourself on a bad day.
Shake it off. Ooh, ooh. Yeah.
So why did you pick this song? I'm just curious.
Well, it's one of the first songs I heard by her.
Really?
Yeah, so I've listened to it a lot, but it's also just like on my playlist of like when I'm down, what to listen to, because it's like...
You have a down playlist?
No, I don't have a down playlist, but I have a playlist that normally I just listen to like our like Spotify already, like default Spotify playlists. Like they have a Just Good Music playlist, Chill Hits playlist, stuff like that. But then I made myself my own playlist for when I really want to hear like my own music. Mm-hmm. Not my own music, but like music that really fits me.
Yeah.
And that's one of them because it's just like, I feel like whenever I go to music, it's like a feel good. Like, I love Seven Rings because it's got that feel-good vibe. Mm-hmm. Like, the lyrics may not be the best.
You're talking about Ariana Grande's
Seven Rings. But the lyrics might not, and Side to Side.
Mm-hmm.
The lyrics might not be the best, but the feel and the vibe is really
good.
Yeah,
but those
like.
Songs are both bops.
I know.
But this is like more
Shake
of a...
Shake It Off?
No, Delicate.
Oh,
is more...
I thought you were talking about Shake It Off. Oh,
okay.
I thought you were asking why I chose Shake It Off.
No, why did you choose Delicate?
For this song?
For this episode.
Oh, for this episode, sorry. Probably because it's really interesting. The production is really interesting. It's not, and I'm not going to say underrated, but it's like, I think it's not talked about enough. I think it's really cool the way they use production tools and the different layers on top of each other. And I had just some questions about it.
Did you watch the video for it?
I did. The video is really cool.
So, in looking at the Wikipedia on this...
The video is actually kind of like... It's not sad, but it's kind of like Reputation. What? Mm-hmm. If you've watched the video, it's like she's...
Well, she's at this like fancy party, but she's like trying to...
Here, can we watch it?
Yeah.
Really quick.
Willa's like, she has a full split.
She does.
That's the first thing you noticed as a gymnast.
Yeah.
She has a full split. So actually, I think it was really helpful that we watched the video just now because there's a few things in the video that that really do help.
The song. Or like the message, right?
They help you understand the song structure.
Yeah, that's, is that what I've kind of said?
So like when you get to the bridge.
Dad, can you edit that out?
Yeah, there is a bridge. And when you get to it, it's when she ends up on the train.
Yeah.
Or in the train station.
Yeah.
And actually, I was also watching this video and thinking, oh, this looks so familiar. And I looked at the Wikipedia, and it was shot in the Millennium Biltmore Hotel in Los Angeles, which I've been to a couple times for a conference called Game Sound Con.
You were like, that looks so familiar.
So I was like, those elevators look really familiar. So the song also does just a really good job of leaving nothing to the imagination in terms of what the song is about.
I think it also does a good job of like showing what she's feeling in the video, at least.
Yeah, we're saying the same thing. This is showing you like what she's trying to do. So she's trying to communicate, but she feels like she's not being heard, or like it's got to be in secret, or it's got to be in her head. So she's having this whole like dialogue with herself while all of her bodyguards don't even see what's going on in her head, right?
Yeah.
It's really sad when she's in the bathroom and she's doing those facial expressions.
Yeah. And then she's like with the women, like trying to talk to them. And
yeah. Did you catch the reference at the last chorus of the video?
No.
To a very, very famous musical theater film?
No.
Singing in the Rain?
Oh! Yes, she was dancing in the rain at the end.
Yeah.
That must have hurt her feet on the concrete. She didn't have any shoes on.
True. Yeah. But that reminded me of Singing in the Rain, and was surely inspired by it.
Definitely. Yeah. So this episode, I'm guessing, is going to be our longest yet, but...
No, I'll edit it down.
Yeah. Anyways, we got to tease the next episode song.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing Crazy in Love by Beyoncé.
I'm very excited to talk about this song.
I'm excited, too.
Yeah. Featuring Jay-Z.
Yes, featuring Jay-Z.
Yeah, power couple.
Yeah.
And this song came out...
I don't know. I'm not a Beyonce super fan, so I have no idea. But
like when you were a baby.
Yeah, I was going to guess like 2010 maybe or 2009.
Yeah, you were like a toddler. But very influential artist on R&B, hip-hop, and it's going to be a super fun show.
Yeah.
So thanks to everybody. We're so, so excited that people are listening to the show. Please share the show.
Yeah, we got our first random reviewer in the comments, and we're only on episode 4.
Yeah, so. We love the reviews. We are going to get a social media presence going soon, so you can...
Yeah, Facebook page.
So it'll
page,
be
yeah.
easier to contact us. But until then, leave us any questions in your review. Give us 5 stars. Subscribe. It helps us to get the word out. And please tell all your friends, especially those who are kids or have kids and want to talk about popular music, about this show.
Yeah. So, yeah. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.